We often get this idea of what Jesus is supposed to look like or be like in our head. And sometimes Jesus ends up looking a lot like we do or thinking the same things we do. And this has been true for a long time. Because even the apostles had their vision of who Jesus should be. They had grown up with an understanding of what a Messiah should look like and should act like. And here Jesus came around, a middle-aged carpenter from Galilee, not only from Galilee, which is kind of considered the backwater areas. He was from Nazareth. And apparently Nazareth had was kind of a questionable area back then. It was the place you didn't want to be from. And here Jesus shows up from there and not looking like their idea of the King of Kings. Doesn't look like a warrior. Isn't from a priestly family. But basically a regular working class Joe shows up. And even though he doesn't seem to quite fit the picture, there's something about him. And you look at the various apostles who, seeming for no reason at all, when Jesus showed up, said, "Follow me." And they just left everything and followed him. And I'm wondering at times if they were just asking themselves, "What did we do here? Why are we doing this?" But there was something about Jesus, even though he didn't fit the picture, that they knew he was the Messiah. And there was this time where Peter even said so. A few weeks ago, we celebrate the Feast of the Confession, where Jesus is asking his disciples, "Who am I?" And Peter says, "You're the Messiah." But they always kept on seeming to forget this. But then you have a moment like today where Jesus takes the three, who seem like to be the three, you know, main apostles up on the mountaintop. He takes Peter and the two brothers, James and John, with him. And they're probably thinking that they're going to get some kind of special message or that Jesus is going to give them certain instructions. Who knows what their thoughts were going on about being selected to go to this special place. Maybe it wasn't unusual. Maybe it wasn't unusual for Jesus to take off a few people here and there and go places. But here they are, and they see this guy who they follow every day, this Jesus, suddenly transfigured. You know, it's like we're told that his clothes become dazzling white, his face changes, everything about Jesus changes. And not only that, two of the top men of the Jewish faith are with him. You have Elijah on one side, you have Moses on the other. And they're talking to Jesus about his plans about his leaving, which, as we all will know later on, is the crucifixion and then the resurrection and then his ascension. But here they are just amazed by what's going on here. And we have Peter, who of course fumbles right into it because he sees the guys leaving, and this is such a glorious moment. Doesn't want to let go of the mountaintop experience. Doesn't realize that you just cannot just stay there. He wants to stay on top of the mountain. He wants to build dwelling places. He wants not only Jesus, but these two holy men to stay there and to capture the moment forever. But then the voice of God speaks that this is my son. Now, at the very beginning of this season after Epiphany, we had, we would have had, except we had a pageant that day. We started the first Sunday of the season after Epiphany with the story of Jesus' baptism, in which Jesus is, you know, where God tells the crowd, "This is my son." And here comes the end of his ministry, near the ending of his earthly ministry. Once again, God says, "This is my son." And for that moment, these three men who came with him realize that this truly is the Messiah. This is God's Son. But the thing is they can't keep it up there. They have to come back down. They have to go back into the world. Now, that's true for us today. It's like Sundays. We can't keep what we have here in church. Sometimes it may be a glorious day. Sometimes we get filled with the Spirit. And it's wonderful spending time with all of you. But we have to go back out in the world to proclaim the good news. We have to do like those first apostles, those first disciples, those early Christians, and go spread the good news to others. This is the season after Epiphany, and as we've talked about in the past, an Epiphany is that sudden understanding where things are made clear. And in this case, we have story after story about people understanding, oh, this is who Jesus is. Now, we are called to share our own story of who Jesus is with, our own epiphanies with others, to go out and share that good news of hope and love with other people. We can't just sort of keep it to ourselves. We have to share it with others. And sometimes that's tough because we may not be accepted. Or even worse, maybe we are accepted and then what's next? But we are called as Christians to go out. Now, we've done this in the past where I've asked, you are baptized. You're all called to be missionaries. You're all called to bring the good news. But you're also called to support one another in that ministry. Right now, we work with different people. We have a Bible study. We come together for Sundays to encourage and to learn. Our children, we have our Sunday school program where we teach them about the importance of discipleship and of being missionaries. And it gives us this opportunity to prepare ourselves to go share this wonderful thing that we found, this Jesus of Nazareth, with other people, to spread the good message, this hope, this love. So my brothers and sisters, as we come near the end of this season that really isn't officially a season, as we prepare ourselves to go into the season of Lent, I encourage you to keep that wonder that is such a part of the season after Epiphany going by spreading the good news, to come down from the mountain and to share it with all people.